So, Rabbi Isai, we are about to begin the sixth perek in Shar HaBitachon. And you think there's nothing more to learn about Bitachon. There are great things in store for us. So last week we ended the fifth perek, and we ended off discussing the idea that a Baal Bitachon, even when he does a shtadlus, he has no daiga for the future. You know, the famous Gemara, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that of course David's arch enemy was Doeg HaAdoimi. So the Gemara says that in regard to Doeg, who was a Velt Lamdan, probably the biggest Talmud Chacham in the whole door, maybe bigger than David, bigger than Shaul, and he was the biggest. And yet the Gemara says, Kol Tairasa Shal Doeg, Einai Ela Menasaf Elachutz. All of Doeg's Taira was only from the lips outward. There was nothing panemius about it. There was nothing internal. It was empty. As the Gemara says, Kol Tairasa Shal Doeg Menasaf Elachutz. The Gemara says, and this we learn, that Rachmana Liba Boy. The Bashtam wants more than anything, not your mind, but your heart. So Doeg had a great brain, but no heart. And therefore, if you don't have a heart, your Torah is considered external, Menasaf Elachutz, from the lips outward, and there's nothing real, emesdik, genuine, inside. And that statement has been extrapolated, because to mean any person who is a warrior. Doeg's name was not by chance, his name was Doeg. It's a very strange name. Doeg HaAdoimi. Again, well, the whole name is strange. Edom is red, which also is the idea of flashiness on the outside. And people who are flashy on the outside tend to be empty on the inside. And what is it that leidix ois, what is it that empties a person, bankrupts a person, that the pnimius doesn't take root? Because everyone's going to shul, everyone's learning. So what is it that makes the soil of the soul so unfertile, so hostile, that the good things that we're doing do not take root, do not flourish? The neshama doesn't become a greenhouse for flourishing good plants, good growths of Yiddishkeit. It is daiga, the acid, that, or the salt, if you plow the field with the salt, nothing grows. The salt, the acid, that kills any growth inside is worry. Worry is very dangerous. Worry is very insidious. Worry is not merely a specific midah ra, not to have faith in the future and to leave it to Hashem, but daiga is a klal yadika midah that has a very debilitating effect on our spiritual growth. Kol Tairasa Shel Doeg Ein Elam Nasaf Lachutz. The Taira of those who worry tends to be external, because inside they're consumed with this fear, what's going to be, what is going to be. Now again, that is important for us to know for ourselves. When other people are worried, the biggest mistake we make, as I told you last week, is tell them, don't worry, what are you worrying so much? Common problem by husbands. Probably the most common refrain is telling your wife, what are you so worried about? Right? Everyone else is ashamed to say, me maida, you're maida, I'm maida, you're maida, two of us. We have two, I'll be shnayim maidim. I'll be shnayim maidim. Parents, your children, anybody you're dealing with, to tell someone else not to worry. Yenim's daiga is my ruchnias. Like Yenim's gashim says, my ruchnias, Yenim's daiga is my ruchnias. You can't tell people, don't worry. At best, we can give them chizuk in a roundabout way and tell them, give them something and inspire them. An example from our lives, from others. You just can't say, don't worry. That's like saying, don't breathe. Don't breathe. Don't have a nose. The worries inside them, you just can't tell someone, dump your worries. It's really impossible. It's like saying, dump your chaser shalom, your cancer chaser. You can't dump your cancer. Just like the not palpable, just say, I'll throw my cancer out. I'll throw the problem out. You can't throw your worry out. It's a mitzias. You can inspire them. You can do surgery on Yenim Machla. You can do surgery by inspiring them that they themselves should learn how to reject it. So worry is very debilitating. So now, Lemaisa, since people are so worried, so now the sixth chapter addresses how we want to address our worries. The way most people address the solution to their worries is that they tell the Rabbeinu Shalom, you know what, I'm very worried about the future. If you will do something for me now, and you'll put money in the bank for me now, and I'll be fine now, if you'll guarantee me everything good now, then I'll be a good boy in the future. Then while I serve you, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'll be so good to you. I'll be so good to you. Zot, the Chayav Zavavaz, is a very famous parak. He says, these people, we are addressing the Kat Balei Mashkoinois. We are addressing the cult of those who take securities from the Rabbeinu Shalom. They take a guarantee from God. Where another version of it is the Kat HaMemashkinim Es Hashem. People who put God on the line and say, God, we're not going to serve you until you put a down payment down to us. When you put a down payment and give us some security, a security deposit. But there's a group called the people who serve God with a security deposit. They say, Rabbi Shalom, I'll serve you if you pay me, if you plunk down the security deposit. Then I serve you. No deposit, no tiki, no washi, I don't serve you until I want cash on the barrel. He says, because the noyeg, like the soicher, who sells somebody something on credit, and as someone, I believe you, but so I'm going to sell you this air conditioner. I trust you, but not all that much. So I'll give you the air conditioner now. If you give me, it's a $800 air conditioner, a big one. Give me a $200 security deposit, and then I'll give you the air conditioner. Because I'm afraid you're not going to pay me the whole thing. Either you're not honest. Why do I take a security deposit? Either I don't trust you that you're honest, that you want to pay it all. You might just run away with the air conditioner. Or I don't know if you can pay me. You're a nice guy. No, you're a great guy. You're an honest guy. You're honest, they come. But what can you do? You have no money. So I demand a security deposit. Same thing that people who demand from their Rabbeinu Shalom say, I'll only serve you if you give me something right now. And there are plenty of examples of that. These people, Hashem, want Hashem to give them a mashkin, parnasa of my family, all the days of my life. When you give me enough money, that I'll have a nice little pekala in the bank, a little endowment fund, the Golding Endowment Fund, about $5 million in the bank will make at least. And this way, well, I don't know if you can get 10%. You can figure even 9-8%. You got $300,000 a year you can probably manage, pull through. Tax a little higher in Muncie. So the Golding gets the $5 million in the bank. Bernstein, that's it. I'm yours. So now, I mean, only the Chofetz Chaim can do this. He actually bothers to go through 7 different reasons why, if you take a security deposit from Hashem, you're from the Kat HaMemashkinim, you're wrong. I mean, who would spend so much time on this little detail? You have this little, first of all, we never even knew this existed, this Kat. I mean, we never, you know, if you ask me, what's the biggest threat to Yiddish guy today? So I'll tell you, say a Reconstructionist, secularists, Ich weiß was, you know? Women's lib. Chavis Vavis doesn't identify that. He says, yeah, I have a whole parak here. The biggest danger to the service of Hashem, those are just, that's post this. All the other tzaras we have in Klal Yisrael, all those isms and all those groups, they start from a basic chasar and namuna. I, says the Chavis Vavis, I must identify the essential sources of the spiritual breakdown of Klal Yisrael. I'm spending a whole chapter here identifying a big problem. It's called Mamashkinas Hashem. We never heard of this group. There's never been a good convention dedicated to it, to shry about this. We don't have Hafganot in that Middle Eastern country called Afghanistan, where they have Hafganot all the time. So, they don't have Hafganot against that. At least you got this, yeah. So, they don't talk about this. There's no big articles in the paper about this. Chavis Lava says this is our biggest problem. So I'm giving you 7 reasons, 7 pirchas, why to be mashkin as Hashem is not good. He says like this. Number one, the reason why ain cha mamim b'koycha abilti mugbol. You don't believe in Hashem's unlimited koychas. If you demand that Hashem pays you panasa now, so that you'll serve him for the future, I want a down payment now, that means you don't believe Hashem can give you for tomorrow. I mean, today you have. You have for today, but you're worried about tomorrow. That means you think that Hashem's koyach was limited to July 25th, 1999. Here the Rebbe Hashem was koyach. Vait or not. You know why? Because oris sichlecha choshach, v'ner tvunasa kava, shaloshem. The light of your intellect has just gone out. There was a blackout. And the candle of your inner perception has been extinguished. Very beautiful, the shyness. Do you know why? What is it that extinguishes and makes a blackout on our seichel? The blackout on our lights comes from Con Edison. O&R, they ran out of juice. But what makes it that our brains, which are so smart and are so good at work, suddenly when I come home, when I come to shul, when I come to my siddur, my chumash, and my gemara, I get dumb. What dumbs us? Smart people, they're so smart at work. Guy's a million-dollar CEO, he's real good at making money, very smart as a doctor, very smart as a lawyer, very sharp, very clever computer specialist. Suddenly it comes to the Yiddish guy, he becomes dumb. Listen to this lashon. Mipnei shafei las tavoscha his gabra lecha. Because the darkness of your taivis, of your taiva, your lust for olam hazeh, has enveloped you, overwhelmed you, and snuffed out the light. If you want to know what makes us have blackouts in the brain, it's desires of the heart. This is the dynamo. The dynamo that has to pump the electricity to our brain to make us see the light is the neshama, the heart. But our heart is so fushed up with taivas olam hazeh that there's no electricity, which is ruchnias dik, that will make the brain work and see olam haba in this world. We cannot generate enough spiritual juice because our heart, the dynamo, is generating so much desire for olam hazeh that we lose our spiritual capability to maintain spiritual energy and light. Gevalt. So we think there's no, corollary. So every time we run after a taiva, it doesn't go. They were much better off, a Moloch at Satan in the yeshivas, when the Bachim slept on straw, and they slept on hard benches. They were much better off. Because they didn't have taivas for Lamhaza, they just gave up on Lamhaza. So it wasn't even in the vocabulary. It was fine. And all their energy was for Ruchnias and Vatayrin Yoshimayim. And we, if you want to know why our brains are so dull and we don't get it, and even if we get it during the shir and during the drasha, it just dissipates in about 10 minutes, it's because our hearts are so involved and tied. We have so much to do in this world. There's so much to do. There's so many stores to go today, so much shopping to do. Got to make up for 3 weeks, you know. It's a big mitzvah. This is the week we got. 3 weeks, my credit card is the balance is so low. So I come out of Vera, my MasterCard, my Visa, I got like a $4 bill for this month, $8, I mean, this is ridiculous. Can't let this happen. This is over the biggest mitzvah deraisa of thou shalt shop. So, gotta get moving this week to make up for lost time. 3 weeks, no purchases. We're so into Olam Hazeh, and that money is jingling in our pocket, and we just love to spend this geschmack. Love to pamper myself. I gotta find something to pay. I mean, it's really, I have all this money in my pocket. I'm thinking, what can I do today to spend some money? I just love spending some money. Some people love the money more than the spending. Some people love the spending more than the money. Whatever it is, we love something in our pocket. And that is what dulls our brain, that there's no light in the brain. It's evolved. Ash or sichlecha choshach, v'ner tzunas l'kova, v'ner afelas tavoscha his gabra alecha, the darkness of our desires has overwhelmed us. So he says, you want to ask for deposits, you want to ask for security deposit, ask it from your friend. If he's selling an air conditioner, it's a good idea. I advise you highly to take a security deposit. If the guy's taking an air conditioner out of your store, make him pay the whole thing in full, or take a nice security deposit, l'chol hapachas. Because your friend talking about what to worry about. Because you're not in his rishus, and he's not in your rishus, they have very little power over him. But, he says, for instance, even the human beings, he says, if I'm giving you an air conditioner, avada, before you take out of the store, give me a chotcha security deposit. But if I'm going to work for you, so you do, you hired me to work. So I was hired, I got a job, they hired me the rabbi over here. I don't tell him, hey listen, I'm the rabbi, okay, very good. I want a security deposit. I want like a half a year's pay before I come to this place. I don't even have a contract. But that's okay, I don't want a contract. But I don't want a contract. That means I'm stuck here. No, but imagine a person is going to work, you do me a favor, you're hiring me, and I say, sure, give me half a year's salary up front. It doesn't work like that. I haven't had that much employment experience. Does it work like that, Shimon? Sometimes. Not a great idea, especially if I'm looking for a job. If I'm begging you for a job, you say, okay, I'll give you a job. Say, okay, thanks for the job. Give me half a year's salary up front. It doesn't work like that. It says the Chavis of Avish, we're working for their Rabbi Shalom. We're begging their Rabbi Shalom. You know what, Rabbi Shalom? The rabbi told me that I better get a job by you. Because if I don't work for you, I'm a dead duck. You know, the only right I have to live in this world, as long as you need me, God. If you don't have anything for me to do for you, I'm in vision. It's across the street. I'm pushing daisies. That's all over. It's all over. I'm finished. If I don't have a job by the Rabbi Shalom, if I have no tachlis, it's over. Instantly. The Min Hashem doesn't need me. We have to make ourselves very, or at least feel that we're indispensable to the Rabbi Shalom. I can say to the Rabbi Shalom, as a Makabal, do this and this and this and this and that. I have so many projects for you, Rabbi Shalom. I'm so busy working you. You can't take me away, Rabbi Shalom. Don't you see some value in my life? So I said, okay, 4 years, you have some value, yeah, okay. Oh, Roger, by the way, can you please give me half a year's advance on my salary? What? You just begged me for a job. You're happy you're not pushing daisies in the Vishnitz. And now you're asking for half a year's salary? I'm a sugar there. So he says, I'm the spoil, he says. I can't believe it that people would be so crass, so crazy, that they ask a man for a job and they demand upfront security deposit payments. And that's the Emes of Shadi says, Al Tiyu Kavodim Hamisham Shalom the Kasa Kabbal Pras. What does that mean? It's not the Pshat, you can't ask the Rabbi Shalom for payment. You can't ask for payment after you work. Abbas Kabbal Pras is, according to the Pshat, Pras is part. I'm asking for part payment up front. That's the Pshat. Pras, according to this Pshat, is security deposit up front. I'm asking for part of my salary up front before I do any work. You didn't do any work, he says, Rabbi Shalom. You didn't do anything. Just beg me for a job. You're asking for a security deposit. Forget it. So Meili says that's the first reason why we should not demand security deposits. The second pircha is that if you ask for the security deposit, listen to what he says. He says, if you ask for a security deposit, ordinarily it doesn't work. Okay, so you ask your employer, I want a half of your salary. Go to the president. President, you know, I don't trust this shul, they're going to really pay my salary. I don't know you guys, funny reputation. Half a year and nothing. I'm not starting to work here unless you give me half a year up front. Fine. But I know I'm telling you how much I want. I want half a year. Right? Not so much. The whole year is not so much either. So that's a gvul. That's a limit. It's something. It's possible. It's possible. Just go to the gemach and take a loan and you'll give it to me. No problem. Then you'll tell me to pay. I know how it works around here. So, zok there, but when a person wants to have security for their Rabbi Shalom, he says, "Ein soif l'mashim avakesh," because you don't know how much muzzin and moistress you need for you and your family until the rest of your life. Because the people who want security deposits from Hashem really don't want just, they don't say, "Rabbi Shalom, give me some money in the bank." They really, in our hearts, we really say to the Rabbi Shalom, "Come on, this is the daydream of everybody's daydream. If only I had that big endowment fund, the $5 million fund, which I know is enough for me to live on till the last day of my life, and I can marry with my daughters, Mitz Hashem, Bekarav, and I can send my kids to camp, and go on visiting day, Moitzi Shabbos Nachamu, and give tips, nice tips to the counselors, and I know that I can afford all the goodies." So, you don't want just a little security deposit from the Baruch Hashem. We want to say to the Baruch Hashem, "I would really give my life to you if you just gave me enough money right now for the rest of my life." Okay, I'm not asking for the rest, for my grandchildren, just my life and my children, though, as long as I'm alive. How much you need? How long are you going to live? How much expenses are you going to have? You know how much expenses you're going to have? You have an idea? You don't have any idea whatsoever. You know what's going to be in the world. What's inflation, deflation? So he says, "Your mamash have no asag what you need afilu. You might need, even Hashem gave you double, you think 5 million is good. Even Hashem gave you 10 million, it might not even be a good. Because the kates is nelam. Midas yamav eni yadu alo. We don't know how much money you need. You're not going to live. You might not be here tomorrow, Chas v'Shalom. You might not be here today in the afternoon. You might not get out of here after 10:30. Very vague. Who knows? So the whole thing is ridiculous. Third reason is, you can only ask, I can ask the president to give me my money, my half year salary up front, if the president owes me everything. Because I owe you nothing. What'd you do for me lately? Nothing. I'm about to service you. I'm going to go to work for you. I'm going to work for your company over here. And I'm going to work here for a long time. Give me half a year up front. But what if it happens to be that I have a previous debt to this gentleman over here? I owe this man millions of dollars already. So I'm going to have the chutzpah to go over to somebody and say, listen, oh, you want me to work for you? Give me a half a year up front. Give me a year's salary up front. You just come, how much is your salary? $50,000? Hey, Rabbi, don't you know, you have a little IOU over here. You owe me $17 million. So what are you asking for up front $50,000 a year salary? You owe me $17 million. So to the Rabbi Shalom, we owe Hashem so much already. I'm going to tell the Rabbi Shalom, you owe me. If you give me up front, you give me some payment. Give me a down payment, an advance. What is an advance? You're behind in payments. Hey, 1 second. Hashem takes out his gemach notebook over here. He says, I got all these post-day checks from you, and they're not paid. They're bouncing all over the place. You owe me so much money already. You have a very bad credit rating for you. Very bad credit rating. You owe me lots. You haven't fulfilled your old chayvus to me. You owe me lots. So you're going to work for me in the future. We've heard that before, first of all. We've heard that from you already for about 50 years. You didn't do what you're supposed to. You have a lot of chayvus to me. You read the book Chayvus Levavus. You know how much you owe me. You have a lot of chayvus to me. And now you have the chutzpah to tell me, God, to give you an advance. You're behind in your payments. He's ripping us to pieces. So he says, if you're your friend, you would never ask from your friend the mashkin, if you owe him so much money, how can you ask for a mashkin? How can you ask for security deposits from the Rabbi Nishalaylam? We owe Hashem so much. It's azaz panim. It's chutzpah. Listen to this. So now, the Chavos Levavos gives us one of his famous illustrations. He says, the achad hachasidim sholpam neodam. This is chassid. I'd love to meet the chassid of the Chavos Levavos. I think it's himself. He says, once a chassid, a pious Jew, asked people, gave a drasha, he said, Bnei Adam, Chevra, Rabbi Yisai, Taira Brider, is it shayach that the Boyre Yidrish Mikem Ayoim, Lemale Tavkidim Shetiyu Mechuyavin Lemale Mocher, or Shetiyu Mechuyavin Lemale Boyd Shana, Boyd Kamashana? Is it possible, my dear friends, I address you today, that the good Lord should ask you today, to fulfill obligations that you're not chayv until till tomorrow? Is Hashem asking you to wear tefillin today for tomorrow? Is Hashem asking you to put the shekel lulav today? So when Yud Beis of Tavshin Nun Tes, Hashem asking you to blow shofar today, which is chayv Rosh Hashanah? Avad Nish? Is Hashem telling you to marry if that zis little daughter of yours is 10 years old? Now? Not yet. Right? So Hashem is asking you to do something today, what you got to do tomorrow. So is Hashem asking you to do that? People said, no, avada not. He said, you know why? Number one, we didn't even know if we'll live to Rosh Hashanah. Who says I'll even get to Rosh Hashanah? That's what the people answered. Who says I'll be zoyche to see my child come to the chuppah? I'm only chayev to do what I have to do today. Every single day has its obligation, which is specific and limited, and I know that I'm chayav to do today what I have to do today, but tomorrow I'm not chayav. Zokte chosid to them, just like it's nikva, there's a specific time for every single task. Every task has a specific time, and you're not obligating the task before the time. So too, the same Rabbanu Shlomo who demands fulfillment of a task obligation also promises you that at the time that the task becomes due, he will give you the parnasa for that day to do the task. So you don't, just like you don't have to worry whether there'll be money, you don't have to worry about blowing shofar right now, you don't have to worry that there'll be money that you should live on Rosh Hashanah this year, and you don't have to worry now that there'll be food on the table to make your simonim. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry. There'll be a shayfer. Of course, you can look for a beautiful shayfer. Not that I'll worry. I'll see the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah. But you don't have to worry that there'll be a shayfer. That's Al-Nal's worry. There'll be a shayfer. There'll be a shayfer. So my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Stein, when he was running away from Telz, that the Nazis murdered the whole yeshiva, only 16 bachrim out of 500-600 survived. And there were groups of four, and he was running to Siberia on the train. And there was Erev Rosh Hashanah. And I gotta get the story from him, I got to hear it from him. I was just speaking to him last week, I wanna get the story 100%, the details from him again. But the basic gist of the story was, there was someplace in Russia, and they got off and they went to a farm, they were looking over farms, and they finally found a farm with rams. And they got the farmer to kill a ram and to take off a shayfer, take off a horn. And the difficult part with the shayfer is you have to get the zichrus, the bone that goes into the outer sheath. You have to get it out. It's not easy at all. It's the hardest part of making a shayfer. The shayfer you see today has been cooked, has been treated, has been processed. It's not a raw shayfer what you see today. It's been polished, it's been cooked, it's been heated. It's a process to get the inner bone out and then to make the shayfer nice and to cut it properly, make a mouthpiece. So he was mamish, he had made the mouthpiece already, and all he had to do was get that zichrus out, but it was very delicate work, it's very twisted, it's hard to get out. There's a special kli, a special pliers to take it out, special screwdrivers, you have to cook it also, you have to loosen it up. He didn't have these things in the middle of nowhere, for Shoshana, and he's jiggling and playing with it, mamish, and the sun is about to set over the horizon, and the sun's going lower and lower and lower and lower. And mamish, a minute before the sun hits the horizon, it becomes banish mashes, the bone just fell out by itself. It was jiggling. So the Rabbi Shalom promises you, you do your effort to have a shayfer, you'll have a shayfer in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Siberia. You don't have to worry about it now. So the Rabbi Shalom says that just like you're not mechuyev to do a task till the time comes, I promise you when the time comes, you'll have the full parnasa. And therefore it's a busha from a person to tell the Rabbi Shalom, give me the parnasa now for Yashana, and I'll be happy. I'll go into Elulzman Ruik if I know that I have enough money to buy my groceries for Yashana. So here it's 2 weeks before Elul. Rabbi Shalom, you know, I'm nervous already. Because my achonis for Yashana is making sure there's money in the bank. Other people's achonis is to learn some Musar and to daven and to learn Chavis Lavavis. The Mayachana is to make sure there's money in the bank to pay for the Simona. It's Darishkeit. He says, this is what the Chassid told him. And he says, how foolish we are again. We're asking for a bunch of now, Parnasa, to marry for your children later. You're already preparing for their college educations, or you're preparing for the yeshiva education, and you're putting away money. So someone told me, I can't believe this. You know, there's a heter from Rav Moshe. There's a heter that if your son's, you know, getting older already, maybe he's about to get married, you can take some of your Meiser money and put it away. You can support your children a certain amount. I'm not going to hit his Meiser right now. You can support your child in Kailel a certain amount of money from your own Meiser money, and that's okay. But my son tells me that he's a chaver here in Lakewood, and the guy just got married. He's already putting his Meiser, he doesn't have a kid yet. He's putting his Meiser money right away for his kid in Kailel 20 years from now. Gansan Meshugah. And maybe if you know your son's got, you know, you have a child or you have a daughter, you can think about it. Yes, Karov, Hadrach, how do you do it? Chasmaisa, when to do it, how much, fine. You're holding there, you know, okay, you have to do some little shtadlis, let's say, okay. You have to pay for chasna, okay, fine. But the kid's not born yet, your wife's not even pregnant yet, and you're already putting away for your chasna money, and you're thinking, what are you worried? Mahalchem by them, that's get yourself some mitzvahs, give away tzedakah, and then be zaycha to the child first, and be zaycha to bring him up, and make him roi lekach, and then when you're holding out thought, then maybe you can do something. He's already worried. So he says, this is the kat hamamashkenim, that they're misalim, they're forgetting, we forget about, we're so absorbed in worrying about the futures up there, that we're misalim, we are oblivious to all of the obligations to Hashem from the past that we blew. There's so many obligations to Hashem that we didn't fulfill in the past. And all we're worried about what Hashem owes us for the future. So we want a down payment now. I want the money now, Rabbi Shalom, for the future. And I'm so absorbed in that I forgot about how many things in the past I owe the Rabbi Shalom and I haven't done for the Rabbi Shalom. So why are we so focused on worrying about the future? We should worry about the past. And think about the fact that in the past, hey, you're alive. I'm alive. So, you know, I told you the famous pasuk in Tillim, Same as Vort in Kapitel Beis, where it says over there in Kapitel Beis, Asapra El Choik. There's a pasuk over there, which this is not the pasuk Pshat, but the pasuk goes, Asapra El Choik. Adonai Amar Elai B'niyata Ani Hayoyim L'diticha. Pasuk Pshat is that I'm talking about life, and Hashem said to me, my son, you're my son, I gave birth to you today. Pasuk Pshat is referring to the Melech Yisrael. Day becomes a king, so it's like he's reborn, he's like a newborn person. The Melech has a new neshama, belongs to Klal Yisrael. But the vertel is, Asapra El Choik. When I start speaking about Parnasa, Choik is called Parnasa, Lechem Chuki. When I start speaking about my daily bread, and I'm saying, Rebbeinu, how am I going to live today? Where am I going to get the Parnasa from? What's going to be with Parnasa? Today, tomorrow, I don't see it, the business is bad, things are lousy, no customers coming, what's with Zion, what am I going to do? If I have Parnasa, but Lamaisa, what's going to be for the future after marriage of children? What's going to be? I don't see it. How can I pay tuition this year? Adonai Amar Elai. Hashem said to me, B'niyata, you're my son. Ani Hayom L'diticha, I just gave birth to you today. You're just born today. Where have I been the last 50 years of your life? Was I around for the last 50 years? You're just born today? You weren't born today. You were born a long time ago. You're my son for the last 50 years. I took care of you. So you're worried about the future? What are you talking about the future? I took care of you in the past. We forget about the past. So Zohar Chazal has two things. We forget about the past Hashem took care of our Parnasa. And we forget about the past that we have a lot of chayvus that are banished on that He gave us Parnasa for, and we didn't do what we were supposed to. He paid us Shneimol, gave us plenty of advances, and we didn't, He gave us advances, and we did not advance spiritually on those financial advances, and we want more advances for the future. Forget about the future. Worry about the past. That is the third pircha for the people who are mamashkenim as Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here, Rabbi Isai.